Florida. We had the first one last year. It's going to be November 6th, 7th, and 8th in the Bar, Florida. It's not going to cost you anything, so why not show up? And the motel's taken care of, and we're going to furnish the Saturday meal. But there's going to be a lot of the preachers that's here that will be there. And some of them that may not be speaking here today will be there. So I think you're just going to have a lot of fun. We had a blast last year, and specifically on the Gulf Coast. I mean, yes. You know, it's supposed to be thunderstorms over here again this afternoon, I understand. So as long as the floods from Texas don't get here, we're doing good. But I wanted to start out with something that's pretty interesting. You know, Dan said something last night about the present evil world. We'll look at it in a minute. Brother Jerry said something about there's none good, no, not one. And so we're going to take a look at that. But Brother Jan just said something. It's very important. And I absolutely trust it and believe it. The fact is that the Lord will put you in front of people to preach to witness to. And he'll also put them in front of you. I mean, there's a difference between you being placed in front of someone and them being placed in front of you. So this morning, I don't have anything planned, as you're going to find out. But I want to talk to you a little bit about what's happening in the ministry that's going on with us in Milton, Florida. Now, you can get to us by gracebelieversbiblestudy.com if you want to go online, look at some videos, read our statement of understanding, and so forth. But there's like three examples just happened in the church. And it doesn't move like this. You know, it's just never happened quite so fast of people getting saved. If you have a church, you know it doesn't happen very often when someone gets saved. And I want to tell you some examples of it. I had a guy that I met about a year ago, and he come by my house, and we've talked about three times. And didn't see him for about 8 months. Never talked about the Bible or anything. It was just total business, and he left. So one day, about 7 weeks ago, he came by my house unexpectedly. Wanted to come in. So we sat there, and a few minutes, he said, can I talk to you outside? Well, he's a buff guy. I didn't know if he wanted to whip me or something. I mean, honestly, dude, you know. And so we got outside, and he said, look. He said, I don't know why I came over here. I was driven over here. Holy Spirit put him under conviction is what he did. Just out of the clear blue sky. And he said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Boy, that's a good start for me. Right there. I'm lost. And I'm going to hell. And I said, I hate you going to hell, but that's where you're headed if you're lost. And he said, I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, I've never read any of it. He said, I've been to church a few times just to take the dates that I had. I never listen. I don't know anything. He said, specifically about religion. I said, well, I'm not a religious guy. Well, you know, instantly, probably someone would want to leave if you're not a religious guy, and I can't. He's expecting me to be a religious individual to tell him about religion, and I'm not a religious individual, and I have been in the past, but no longer. So it was cold that day, chilly, probably around 55 or 60. So I was freezing to death. The wind was blowing, and I was cold. Anyway, I went and sat in his car, and this guy was just, I gave him the gospel of salvation. And I said, to give him an urgency, you've got to give people an urgency. You know, like on your way home, you may get killed in a car accident. You're going straight to hell. Don't beat around the bush with it. And he didn't trust the gospel on the way home. But he said he would be in church that next Sunday. Well, he was. He sat there not knowing anything. I give him a Bible like this, only an Alabama Bible, not a LSU Bible like this, but it's still a King James. And he really appreciated it. We started going to scriptures. He couldn't find any. Well, you didn't know anything. So he came back the next week. And that was a Sunday. And on Monday, he called me. He said, guess what? I got saved. Well, this is wonderful. And I talked to him about it. He is saved. His testimony is that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead to pay for all of your sins. And he knows he's justified. Now, he said, I feel the most relaxed I have ever been in my life. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace in the world. My life is just, this was from the Sunday till the Monday morning when he called me. He said, I've been telling my employees and I've been telling people on the phone, I'm calling them up that I'm saved. And this guy did not know one thing 2 weeks before. But that's how the Holy Spirit moves upon people. He had a need for something and he came to me. I just happened to be the person that told him the gospel. It doesn't matter who tells the gospel, because you are all ambassadors for Christ. You really are. And I agree with Jen. You're not all preachers. I really hadn't planned on this myself. But the fact of it is, I am, and I wouldn't do anything else. But sometimes this, it's integrity. You remember when Paul got saved, he didn't have any credibility with anybody. So he went out and preached the gospel of God. He preached the foundational truth of the gospel, but there was no salvation in it because he didn't have any credibility. And so he built up credibility. The Lord gave him some time to build up credibility with people. And the same thing goes for you. We need credibility when we're talking to people. Is there anything wrong with drinking? No. But whenever you're sloshed and drunk, falling over, and you're trying to tell somebody about how the Lord saved you, that's not a good witness, and you'll turn people off. That's what I'm talking about, credibility. You know, and you can do anything you want because all things are lawful, the apostle says. But they're not expedient. And this is one means that I'm talking about. They're not expedient for you to do certain things. But I had built up credibility with this guy without me even knowing it. And it's just a wonderful thing. That was about 8 weeks ago. About 7 weeks ago. I've got a class up in Op, Alabama. I've had it up there for 9 years. And this individual, Brother Gilbert, some of you know him, Shellen out of Prattville, he had come down to my class and preached that night. It was a Tuesday. Trish was with me. We went up to this place called the B&B. Brian, you remember going in there, you and Steve, wherever he may be. And it's a little hole in the wall for food. And there's this guy sitting over here to the left. Long hair, white-headed. And I knew him. I grew up with him, probably in the second grade. And then I saw him occasionally as teenagers, about 16 years old. The next time I saw him was about 10 years ago in a tire shop. So we kind of lost track, but he really likes me. And then he happened to be there that night, sitting in the B&B restaurant. And boy, he was just overjoyed to see me because he has nothing but good memories with me and him. And he said, what you doing? I said, I'm a pastor. You're a what? Said, yeah, because it was foreign. You know, when you go back to your hometown, you don't have any respect there because they knew you before you became one. It's just really the truth. Man, I was pretty bad. But he came, he was in a wheelchair and he wheeled over. And I said, are you lost? Just like that. He said, yes, I am. I said, why? I don't know nothing about the Bible. He said, I haven't been in a church. He was 66 years old. He said, I haven't been in a church other than to work on it as a carpenter or something in 57 years. And he's sitting there with his wife in his wheelchair. I said, how'd you get in that wheelchair? Because this guy was probably badder. He's bad to the bone than anybody in his room. You know, if you had a steel chainsaw, he'd probably try to take the chain off of it with it running. He's just bad. And he just loves to duke it out. But somebody, and this is ironic that we're in Louisiana, he was on his tractor one day. And somebody from Louisiana was driving, some lady, hit him on his tractor, threw him off. He's paralyzed from the waist down. Total. His functions and everything. And he said, it happened 5 years ago on Mother's Day. So he said, well, what are you doing in op? I said, well, I've got a Bible class. Had it for 9 years. 9 years and I didn't know about it? Yep. So he said, I'm coming next Tuesday night. So on that Tuesday, that next Tuesday, something happened in weather, I think, and we couldn't make it. And so he went out there to my house. I bought my mother's house over there, old house. Him and his son built a ramp, built a ramp so he could come to the Bible class. Ain't that something? Now, when you build a ramp, you got more intentions of coming just more than once. So I know the Holy Spirit's working on this guy. So he came once, and his eyes was just open, and give him the gospel, and he wouldn't trust it. You know, you've heard this, quit trying and start trusting. And he didn't know anything about the Bible, but he knew what he had heard other people talking about. And which, you got to quit this and you got to quit that. And so he just wouldn't quit. We couldn't get it out of him of what he couldn't give up. And so he sat there, and we really, I mean, I hammered him. Really, and I don't beat around the bush. I'll tell you, going to hell in a heartbeat, because I don't hold anything back, and I'm too old to worry about it. So I did that. He came back another week. It's the same thing. But what he did from that first meeting in the restaurant, he went home that night and started reading. Started in Genesis 1. I told him, I said, if you're going to read, start Romans. But he went and started in Genesis. And then he had all kind of Old Testament questions. I said, let's get your salvation fixed first. So anyway, he came back another week. Same thing. Brought somebody with him, brought three others, including his wife, all of them non-believers. One of them was in holiness somewhere. And she was just really sucking it up. I mean, really, she was absorbing it. The next week, he came back. And me and Brother Jerry Hawk up here, we were in Montgomery on a Tuesday before our Bible class in op. He called me at 11 o'clock in the morning. I just got saved. The man trusted the Lord. And he told me that night, he said, my phone got hot from calling people and telling them. I mean, he's the kind of guy that's an extrovert. He's telling all his old buddies and fighters that he grew up with and so forth about how the Lord has saved him. And he can't be quieted. He's out there. He's in the restaurants. They're going to have to shackle him down to keep him quiet because he's going to everybody. He's inviting everybody, and he doesn't understand why they're not all coming. But that's what you do when you get saved. I'm not the quiet type when I got saved. I just couldn't wait to tell the whole entire world. This guy's the same way. Brother Bob's the same way. A lot of people... you got to shout it out to all the hills and valleys and everywhere else. You just can't stand to keep it to yourself when you get saved. It's just that glorious. It's called a glorious gospel of Christ. And there's nothing any better. And so he trusted the Lord. Magnificent. Now, how would I know that Diane here would be coming in from Maine? How long have you been down in Florida? 3 months. She started talking to the brother over here. They came to church this past Sunday. We preached the gospel of the grace of God to her. On Monday, I was on the golf course. It was Memorial Day. She called me up. I just got saved. Welcome to the body of Christ. It's just that simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. Brother Jan and I was talking earlier back there having breakfast, and we're talking about lost believers. Now, you can be a lost believer. You're lost now. I'm telling you, you're headed to hell. Or you can be an agnostic, or you could be, what's that other word you used? Yeah. Brother Moore said, I ain't no atheist. But you can call yourself an atheist. You can believe there is no God. A lost believer is no different from that atheist. They're lost. Either you're saved or you're lost. There's no in between here. None. Let's look at something. And by the way, when we're going over, Brother Dan looked at this last night, but I want to go over to Galatians chapter 1. I saw on Facebook this morning, and believe me, stay off of it if you can. I'm addicted to it. It's like a drug. I can't hardly stand it. Whew. I don't comment out there, but I get hot under the collar, especially with one of these guys from Denham Springs down here. Mark's buddy. But anyway, but Mark, I think Trent, he printed something this morning out there on Facebook, and he said, Mike Murdoch. Everybody know who Mike Murdoch is? He's a prosperity preacher. Said, you need to donate seed money of $1,000, and you're going to get three Corvettes and something else. But I thought three Corvettes was great. Seed money. That just irritates me. Creflo Dollar is asking his congregation for $65 million so he can buy an airplane to go evangelize the world. Well, I tell you where he needs to start, and it's a good start right here in Baton Rouge. You just get out on the street right here and walk the aisle or walk the street. You're going to find more lost people from here to that light up there. That's where you need to start, in your hometown. But why don't we start in our hometowns? Why don't we start where we live? It's because people reject you. If you're going to preach the Word of God, you got to have some kind of mental stamina. And you can accept rejection, because it's going to happen to you. Now, if you want to go overseas and be an evangelist, I have no problem with that. But talking to a lot of them, I've got one in my church. People are, and I could ask Dan, and I could probably ask Jim here about it. People, in Jim's case, he doesn't have it easy. He's going to Israel, but a lot of people throughout the world want to hear this message. They thrive on hearing this message. I was talking to another person in here, and they said, oh, when I was overseas, oh, they wanted me to go and be associated with a church and preach and so forth. They want to receive what you have. Over here, people could care less. People can care less of what you've got to say. But there are still people out here that the Holy Spirit is convicting. They're hearing the garbage that's being spewed out of people's mouths, so-called preachers out here. Now, you've got another individual here in town, in Baton Rouge. He's a preacher. He's a singer. His son is a preacher. His grandson is a preacher. You know what I'm talking about? Some people say, I don't listen to him, but some people say he's preaching grace. I don't see how that could be possible, because I listened to Donnie myself on a YouTube message. And he said, you know those King James Bible people that work this up? We've got better scrolls, or whatever he called them. We know more now than those people that edited, wrote through the Holy Spirit, the King James Bible. And they've got a Bible called the Expositor's Bible. Well, see, to me, that turns me off that he's teaching grace. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Okay. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. The last three words of 1:3 is our Lord, or last four words, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. When you say he gave himself, he did willingly, didn't even open his mouth as a lamb to slaughter. He gave himself for your sins. Sin is no longer a problem. Your unbelief is, and I hear people all the time telling me, well, you know, sins is a problem. These are grace believers, by the way. You know grace believers that preach that? They're there. But he gave himself for our sins, and he bought you with a price, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Oh my gosh, is it evil? It's horrible. Go over to Romans, would you? Well, I'll hit a couple of scriptures that the brothers hit last night. Romans chapter 3. Jerry hit this very well. We know from verse 9 of Romans chapter 3 that the Jews and the Gentiles, that they are all under sin. We also know from Romans, oh, you ain't got to go here, but Romans chapter 11, verse 5, that there was a remnant that the Apostle Paul was sent out to get. And we know he didn't go to all Gentiles at one time. He preached the gospel of Christ to this remnant by the election of grace for a purpose, to get that remnant. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we know that from verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Inclusive all, everybody. Not just some of you. It didn't say many there, it said all. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Go over to Psalm chapter 14. Hold on to your place here. Psalms. In Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, anybody out here today that you know of, that you witness to, or you hear of, and he says, there's not a God. The Bible says he's a fool. My grandmother told me, don't you ever call a man a fool. But he's a fool. But how do I know that? The Word of God just told me he was. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. David's pretty clear on it. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. How many? None. Verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. We just read it. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We just read it in Psalms. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I've got to find it. There it is. You think you're a just man? We know the only just man that has ever lived. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The just for the unjust. You're unjust. You were born unjust. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I mean, you can't get any more critical of an individual than that right there. None. There's not a just man. You loved your grandfather. You loved your dad. Oh, he was a great man. But he wasn't a just man. Not in his original condition. He surely wasn't. Absolutely not. But I want to talk about this present evil world a little bit. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not? That should be really emphasized when you're reading this passage. Unrighteous, that's got to be underlined. Unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You heard that. That pretty well covers you. But hold on to that passage right here and go over to Ephesians chapter 5. This is showing that this is a present evil world. All these things exist, and some of us are all of those things that we just read about. Whether you like it or not, some of you do those things, including myself. Ephesians chapter, 5. Let's go to verse 5. In a prison epistle. For you know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Go over to Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times. Do you believe we're in the latter times? I do. We know we are because every day we get closer. We're not in prophecy, though. Get that out of your mind. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Well, that looks like the President of the United States almost. If you just knew, the majority of you, if you just knew what they're doing in the military, say I'm retired Air Force, if you knew what they were doing in the military with the lesbians and gays, it's pathetic. Trish just told me, she works at Eglin, she just told me down at Eglin, is it happened yet, or are they fixing to do this about the lesbian and gay? The month of June, in the military, LGBT or whatever it is, celebration in the military. I get bent out of shape when I think that about this right here. And no, I had this guy ask me that got saved up and up. He said, I think I know the answer to this, but let me ask you anyway. Would you marry two men? I tell you what. And I had one of my buddies, his mother, he brings her, and she's about 87, and she's a good old Baptist, and she's got dementia, but she loves my class, and she remembers it from week to week. Odd. But I wanted to stir something up when he asked me that. I said, hell no! Not just no, but can homosexuals and lesbians be saved? Of course they can. Have they got to give it up? No. You didn't quit sinning when you got saved, so why have they got to give it up? Oh, to me it's detestable, but the fact of it is, they can be saved just like I was saved. Ain't that right, Brian? It is. And you can work on explaining the reasons after they get saved. But they can work on you after they get saved. Well, you know, you should quit what you're doing here. You're not a good example. They may be a better example than I am. We're all sinners, and never forget it. I just happen to be a saved sinner. It's great to be a saved sinner. Honestly, it is. I want to go over to 2 Timothy, I think. Chapter 3. Talking about this present evil world and what's coming. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, I told you, we're in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're selfish. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Oh my God. You believe that's happening today? You know, that's what's happening in Baltimore. That's what's happening in Ferguson. That's what's happening in New York. And it's happening right here in Denham Springs. It's happening in my hometown op. It's happening in Milton, Florida, and Pensacola, Florida. Parents are not putting they're sparing the rods what it is. You're going to have a child? You need to raise that child in the way of the Lord and pray that he won't get out of it. But that's what's happening with all these riots. When 73% of the African American community is born out of wedlock, there's not a dad around. I'm telling you, we're in perilous times. And all the federal government wants to do is throw a check at it. They want to throw a check at education. You know, it reminds me of where we're at. It just reminds me of when the Jew was the predominant economic, political, socioeconomic people on the face of the earth. And then they were supposed to raise us Gentiles up to their level. And it didn't happen. They came down to ours and became idolaters just like us. It's the same day, same thing. When integration took place in the United States, it was supposed to take and bring up the African American community and other minorities because there were some atrocities that was happening. That's a fact. It was supposed to bring all the people up to the educational level of the normal educational system back in the 60s, which was really good. But it hasn't happened. It's fallen. We're always falling. Always falling. The Hispanics, the whites, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. There's not a race that's more guilty than the other one. We're all guilty. And if you don't believe it, we're going to catch up. We're going to catch up. It's a shame. Perilous times. Verse 3. I missed verse 2 after disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Which is wicked. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That's no self-control, is what that is, with the individual. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, in other words, reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, you heard what I said. This is about unrighteous people. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the denominations leave off where we did in verse 10. They forget to go ahead and tell you about verse 11. They want to keep you in bondage to the church. So you will continue to tithe, and they can tell you, brother, you can walk the aisle here and you can confess your sins in front of everybody and God will forgive you. No, we won't. Why? You're already forgiven. You're in the body of Christ, the spiritual invisible church. And Jesus Christ is the head of that. How do you get that way? You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have trusted the gospel of the grace of God. Let's read verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're talking about all those negative things and all those bad things that you shouldn't do that we do do. And such were some of you. But you're washed. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your sins are as white as my tie. Actually whiter, because there's got to be some kind of dirt on here that you can't see. They're whiter than my tie. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, you're set apart. When you're sanctified, what are you? You're sanctified to heavenly things, not earthly things. The Bible tells you set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. See, earthly things are temporal. And we know from Ephesians 1:3 that all of our blessings are in heavenly places. You looking for a blessing down here? Just go ahead and give Mike Murdoch your money. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. You're sanctified, you're set apart, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the ED on the back of justified? It's done in the mind of God. Before the first grain of sand was ever spoken into existence, God, through His foreknowledge, saw us in here today. He knows what you're thinking. He knows if you're saved or not. And if you're not, you need to trust the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to tell you this. And then I'll close without getting into something that else. I've got an individual in one of my classes. He's been listening to me. He's even preached for at least 7 years. He's probably heard the gospel of the grace of God a few hundred times. And I found out he's sitting in the class. He's not absorbing. He's not learning anything. I thought he was. Now, he knows a lot about the Lord. He knows a lot about the Bible. But you're going to find this to be true. There's somebody in here probably in the same situation. Brother Moore told me about an individual. He and I talked in depth about it. Nobody's ever heard this man's testimony that was in EC's church. He'd been there 20 years. Faithful. Giver. Never heard a testimony from him. And EC finally said one Wednesday night, we had a testimony service, and he said, look, brother, would you like to, Clint, you were there. Would you like to give a testimony? No. And the next day, this man wrote EC a letter. Don't you ever worry about burying me. I'm never coming back to your church again. He come back one time when I put on a big shindig for EC's 50th year in the ministry. But he never came back to his class ever again. Now, if you're saved in here, don't you just want to shout it to the rooftops? Why would somebody want to keep it in? Don't ask me about a testimony. I'm going to tell you my testimony. I mean, I can't hardly be around somebody over 5 or 10 minutes, and we're talking about the Bible and how the Lord saved me, such a despicable human being as myself. Really, that's the way I feel about it. I'm a sorry, no good, lousy sinner. But when somebody doesn't realize they're a sinner, and they think, there's no doubt the man was a lost believer. He knew what it takes to be saved. Some people just got so much pride that they just won't turn loose of it. Now, whatever his problem was, he's still alive, and I hope that he does trust the Lord if he hasn't. But that old boy that got saved up in Alabama now, that's in the wheelchair, before he got saved, he said, he said, I'm going to have a graveside service. I want you to do it. He's lost now at this point. He said, I want you to tell him. But and the reason I'm telling you this is, there's an urgency to get saved. You couldn't look at him and tell there was anything wrong with him other than him being paralyzed. He bulk man. But he didn't tell me that he had one of the carotids that's 98% blocked. He said, I want you to tell them people, I want to be saved and I'm searching to be saved, but I ain't saved if I die before I trust the Lord. That's what he said. He said, I'm working on it. Just tell them I was working on it. But after he got saved, in the same class, he said, now you can tell them I'm saved. I'm going to end on that. If you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you think you have, that's not good enough. The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You've got to do nothing, but you have got to trust the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ was crucified. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ. What was he doing in Christ? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you.